जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय घोर भक्तवृंद ध्याय द्वैत चंद्र ध्याय घोर भक्त वृंदा श्री चैतन्य चरितमृत दिस इज आदि लीला चैप्टर 14 सो विल स्टार्ट विद वर्स 83 एंड रीड अ लिटिल बिट फर्स्ट एक दिन विश्व पुत्रेय चपल देखिगा धर्म शिक्षा दिल बाहु बार्सना करिया On another occasion, Jagannath Mishra, seeing the mischievous acts of his son, gave him lessons in morality after rebuking him greatly. Verse number 24. On that very night, Jagannath Mishra dreamt that a Brahmin had come before him speaking these words in great anger. My dear Mishra, you do not know anything about your son. You think of him your son, and therefore you rebuke and chastise him. Jagannath Mishra replied, This boy may be a demigod, a mystic, yogi, or a great saintly person. It doesn't matter what he is, for I think he is only my son. It is duty of the father to educate his son in both religion and morality. If I do not give him this education, how will he know of it? The Brahmin replied, If your son is a transcendental mystical boy with self-effulgent perfect knowledge, what is the use of your education? Purport. The Brahmana Jagannath Mishra saw in his dream told him that his son was not an ordinary human being. If he were a transcendental person, he would have self-effulgent knowledge, and thus there would be no need to educate him. Verse 89, Jagannath Mishra replied, Even if my son is not a common man but Narayan, still it is the duty of a father to instruct his son. In this way, Jagannath Mishra and the Brahmin discussed the principles of religion in the dream. Yet, Jagannath Mishra was absorbed in unalloyed parental mellow and did not want to know anything else. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.45, it is said, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipped with the exalted hymns by all the Vedas and Upanishads, and by great personalities through Sankhya Yoga in the mode of goodness, was considered by Mother Yasoda and Nanda to be their own little son. Similarly, Jagannath Mishra also considered Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be his beloved little boy, although he is worshipped with all veneration by learned brahmanas and saintly persons. I'll read the next verse. Being very pleased, the Brahmana left after talking with Jagannath Mishra, and when Jagannath Mishra awakened from his dream, he was very much astonished. He related the dream to his friends and relatives, and every one of them was very much astonished to hear of it. So today is we honor the appearance, the festival of the Lord's beloved father, Jagannath Mishra, in this particular incarnation. It's like in Janmashtami, right after his Nandotsava, we honor Nanda Maharaj. So in the same way, we honor Jagannath Mishra the day after the appearance of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Also this evening, there is a program we saw how the deities were so colorfully dressed with all different spots of color on their clothes. Srimati Radharani is holding a syringe shooting colors at Krishna. So this evening there is a little ceremony, I believe it's at 5 o'clock in the garden, some over the, I think on this side. So please attend, and I think the deities will be getting their color bath by their devotees. Very sweet festival every year it's done, and it brings great joy to the devotees, and I'm sure great pleasure to the Lord. That's this evening. So, Jagannath Mishra, he is in the parental affection. There are 5 rasas, 4 main rasas, and the rasa of neutrality. Neutrality is not so much a rasa that is adopted by Vaishnavas, mostly by impersonalists or those who simply don't engage in service. They just admire the Lord. It's a mood of admiration. Vaishnava rasas start with dasya ras, and of course all rasas are dasya in the sense that all activities are meant for service. But the mood of service changes in different ways according to the relationship of the Lord. And like we see in this world, people have friends, they have parents, and they also have, we say, intimate loving relationships with the opposite sex. So, where does this come from? It's not that it starts here and then we just adopt it in our spiritual practice. No, it's the other way around. The material world is actually a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So what is there in the material world, Prabhupada said, is also there in the spiritual world. But there is no inebrities. Someone asked Prabhupada, is there snow in the spiritual world? Prabhupada said, yes, but it's not cold. It's not cold. So, what we experience here in this world, in our different relationships, is actually in its perfection in the spiritual world. And so we see that when the Lord appears in this earth, He brings with Him His associates and He performs His different rasas, the different relationships. He has His friends, He has His parents, He has His beloved. And this way He exhibits the different rasas here in the material world, both for His own transcendental pleasure, mostly, and to also teach what is the ideal in relationship also, and to bring joy to the hearts of His devotees. In this way, He performs His different activities in this world. So, Jagannath Mishra, he was in parental ras. Sometimes we say Vatsalya. Actually, Vatsalya is the Sanskrit name. It's interesting, the word Vatsalya. Vatsalya comes from the word Vatsa. Vatsa means calf. Calf. So, how does that connect to, when we say, parental affection? The cow's love for its calf is so sweet and so relishable that that name was adopted for parental ras. So if you want to see the ideal parental ras, just see a cow and a calf. The mood of the cow's love for her calf, like that. So the name Vatsaya, Vatsa means calf, Vatsaya. Parental relationship. So here, in this particular pastime, being in a mood of parental affection, Jagannath Mishra chastised his son and was educating his son just like an ordinary father, you know, instructs an ordinary boy or a girl. In other words, he's performing the same activities that people in the material world do as of duty, and of course out of affection. But sometimes there is some chastisement, some correction. In fact, many times we see that. And sometimes Krishna was naughty. Mm-hmm. Even Lord Chaitanya, he was so naughty. Krishna was naughty, but Lord Chaitanya was really naughty. I think one time he asked his mother, "Mother, I want a garland. I want, what else did he want? He wanted a few things. I can't remember the actual items." His mother said, "Be patient. I'll get it for you. Maybe some garland, some sweets." And Lord Chaitanya just became really angry. He was just a little boy. He just ran into the house and he just took everything, all the atta, all the rice, all the ghee, all the dal. He just started throwing it everywhere and breaking the house. He was smashing all the house by smashing all the ingredients, throwing up against the wall. And he just, after he did that, he just lay down and went to sleep. His mother didn't say anything. She was kind of astonished. And then he came out and he said, "Mother, I'm hungry." She said, "Well, there's nothing left. You ruined it all. You threw it all over the place. There's nothing left." And she said, he said, "Don't worry, I'll be back." So he left, and he came back with 2 tolas of gold. 2 ounces, 2 tolas of gold. He said, "Here, Mother, you can buy some more." She was thinking, where did he get this gold from? Where did he get this gold from? So in this way, the Lord would perform his mischievous pastimes. He is very mischievous. He would go down to the banks of the Ghat, or the Brahmins would be bathing, and they would be chanting their Gayatri, standing waist deep in the water, and he just pulled their feet out from underneath and they would fall. Or he'd just come up and he'd spit water in their face while they were chanting Gayatri. And then he would swim away. And then on the lady, and then sometimes he would go and take the clothes from the lady's side of the Ghat, and he put it on the men's side. And he'd take the clothes from the men's side and put it on the ladies' side. So when the devotees or people came out, they were quite amazed and shocked. So he would do all these mischievous pastimes. Actually, there's one story where his parents, they were discussing, his father and mother were discussing, "You know, Vishwarup, you know, he became so educated, and then because he became so educated, he actually started to take up really scriptural education, and then he just left home and became a sannyasi. What's going to happen to Nimai too? He's going to do the same thing. If we send him to school, he's going to be so educated, then he's going to just come, he's going to leave us. So let's take him out of school." So they did. Nimai really liked school, so they took him out of school anyway. So Nimai thought, "Okay, now what do? Let's perform some mischief." So he would go with his friends, and he would get 1 or 2 of his friends, and they would put a blanket over themselves, and they would go into somebody's field and knock down the banana trees. Like they were dressed like a bull, they would put a blanket over and they just crash into the banana trees. And then the person would come out and they would run. And then the person would go back in the house, and then, you know, in India, they have the locks on the outside of the door and the inside. So sometimes the persons would go into the outhouse to take care of nature, and then they would lock them in. No, they would lock them in the house, so when they had to go take care of nature, they couldn't go out. That was it. So he would perform all these mischievous pastimes. And people would get, they were, sometimes they would come out and chase him, and he would run away and he would laugh. So he was very mischievous. So his mother and father always had to many times make sure he was. The Brahmins, sometimes they would come to Jagannath Mishra and say, "Jagannath Mishra, your son, he's performing all these mischievous pastimes. We're trying to chant our Gayatri, spits water in our face." And then the girls would come up too, and they would complain, because sometimes they would do their puja down by the banks of the Ganges. And they would worship Lord Shiva. They would worship Lord Shiva to get a good husband. And that is the culture, that actually Shiva, by worshipping Shiva, one can get a qualified husband. Or at least that is the process. So they would worship Shiva, and he would come over, and he would take the articles for, and he would sit on the place where Shiva was being worshipped, and he'd say, "Worship me." And they say, "Nimai, why are you doing all this mischief? You're offending Lord Shiva." He would say, "If you don't worship me, I'm going to curse you. And if you worship me, if you don't worship me, then I'm going to curse you that you'll be one of seven co-wives with a very ugly husband." And then they would get a little nervous. "And if you worship me, then I'll grant you that you'll have so many wonderful qualified sons with a very qualified husband." So they would listen. They would think, sounds like he's got some power. Some Shakti. But still, they would become very disturbed. So they would go to tell Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra would get a stick. He would be really angry. And Nimai's friends would come and say, "Nimai, your father's really angry. He's going to chastise when you go home." So he would just smear all dust on his body, and then he would put all ink on his body, because when he would come from school, it was like that. Then he would go to the ghat to bathe, and then he would come back to the house. So he would just be coming with all ink and dust on him, and then his father would see him, and he was ready to chastise him, and he would say, "Father, I just came from school. I didn't even go to the ghat." So his father didn't know what to say. And this way he would perform his mischievous pastimes. Sometimes we have, children are also very mischievous. Children by nature are mischievous. They like to do things that just to agitate the parents, right? And sometimes the more you become agitated, the more they do things to agitate you. Until you get really strong, then they get scared. So where does this come from? It comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, the Lord would perform his different pastimes with his different associates. But no one can be the father of the Lord. No one can be the mother of the Lord. No one can be the lover of the Lord. The Lord is the supreme lover, father, son, and ideal, what we say, object of worship for everyone in creation. Therefore, when the Lord takes on these roles and accepts them, it is only to give for his own transcendental pleasure. In Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world in Vaikuntha, the rasas are dasya ras. Everyone serves Narayan in servitorship. And there is friendship, but there's friendship in awe and reverence. You can worship the Lord in friendship, but in the mood of awe and reverence. But in Goloka Vrindavan, it begins, the rasas actually begin with Sakya Ras, where Krishna is equal to or subordinate to his cowherd friends. And then, of course, Vatsalya Ras, he's always in an inferior position, and he accepts an inferior position in his loving relationships with the gopis of Vrindavan. Krishna likes this. It's glorified throughout the Shastras that the prayers of the great souls, the brahmanas and the saintly persons, even the prayers done by the Upanishads, the Shrutis, the greatest of all prayer offerers, they can offer prayers in such perfect, what we say, spiritual teachings with great poetry. The Lord's not so much pleased by these prayers as he is when someone jumps on his back or chastises him and says, "You're not so great." The Lord gets more pleasure out of such dealings with his devotees than the mood of awe and reverence. It doesn't inspire him so much. Of course, we must. I see Paragopinath Astasaki Kiya. Of course, we cannot approach the Lord in these higher rasas, but we must approach in the mood of awe and reverence, in a mood of service, humble service to the Lord. But as one practices devotional service, and as devotional service becomes concentrated, one's, what we say, internal mood starts to develop. And then as that develops, how do you know what is your internal mood? This is a very controversial subject. Sometimes we saw in the early days of the ISKCON movement, and even today in some places, the people like to surreptitiously develop or adopt their internal mood. There was the famous or infamous Gopi Bhava Club in 1970. Only a few years after Prabhupada established his movement, there was this group of devotees, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, many of my god brothers and sisters, who were reading scripture and misinterpreting scripture, misinterpreting Srila Prabhupada's explanations, and adopting these moods by dressing up in saris and in peacocks, cowherd boys, and then having discussions and doing all kinds of other, I don't know what they were doing. But when Prabhupada heard about it, he became quite angry, and he said, "Stop it immediately." It took a while for Prabhupada to find out about it, but when he did, he immediately stopped it. And of course it was stopped. Nowadays, when we try to stop something deviant, it's like they have to discuss whether who could stop it or whether it's deviant or not. When Prabhupada was here, things were just like, Prabhupada said it, you did it. That was it. There was no question like that. So, and Prabhupada stopped that very immediately. And Prabhupada acknowledged the fact that these things are available, but one cannot surreptitiously or whimsically adopt these things and expect them to be genuine. So then when Prabhupada was asked, "Well, how do you know what's your internal mood?" Prabhupada said, when you're ready, the spiritual master will come personally to reveal it to you. When you're ready. That means he reveals it to you within the heart, the spiritual master. That used to be a process in our Krishna consciousness movement, or in the Gaudiya Vaishnava society, where one can, at a certain stage of spiritual practice, take on what they call a Siddha Pranali Guru, and it teaches you what is your... But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati saw the deviations that were being adopted by the sahajyas, artificially adopting these moods. He became very disgusted and angry. And it became quite widespread that he removed this, what we say, feature from our practice. And Srila Prabhupada followed in suit with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And he said that if you want to know it, it will come automatically by the spiritual master when you're ready. It'll come automatically when you're ready. So, different relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vatsalya Ras. You have to chastise the Lord. Jagannath Mishra is being chastised for chastising the Lord. A Brahmana appears in the dream and tells him, "Your son is actually, you know, a great personality. You shouldn't be doing that. He doesn't require your correction." But his devotion, his love for his son was so strong that even though he was hearing this, he even said, even if he's Narayan himself, Even if he's the supreme personality of Godhead, still he's my son. How strong that loving relationship is by the pure souls in relationship to the Lord, that awe and reverence takes a back seat in that mood of love. Even Sachi Mata, actually, she knew that it was revealed to her in different times that her son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, it didn't really change her loving mood as a mother. It was so strong. All she wanted to do was to cook for him and care for him and show her affection to him in different ways. She remained a mother throughout his whole Leela, even when he was a sannyasi in Jagannath Puri. So these different relationships, and that's the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people from other religious traditions, they speak, and most they talk about their relationship as God as the Father. God is the Father, right? God is the Father, but if God is the Father, then what's the relationship that Father, please provide for me the son or daughter, right? Yes? If you have a parent and you're the child, then give me, right? Dehi, dehi, dehi. Give me, give me, give me. But Prabhupada said, we would rather be the father of the Lord and give to him. So this is Krishna consciousness. Not asking for the Lord in the mood of a child, but asking for devotional service, that we can ask for. But Krishna's hungry. So the offerings have to be on time and have to be prepared very nicely and offered very, what we say, devotionally. So that way we worship the Lord as the Supreme Son in this mood of a deity. The deity takes the subordinate position. Practically, the deity is in the mood of a child. He's dependent on his devotee to be there on time, to wake him up, to dress him, to bathe him, to offer nice food, to sing to him. So many things. And at the end of the day, we put the Lord to rest. In so many ways, the deity is being treated as a child or a son or like that. So it's very sweet. And this Krishna consciousness is very sweet. Just to have a relationship with the Lord as a father like that it's not so. Of course, God is the Hambida Padapita. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I'm the seed-giving father of all living entities. So he is the source. When we say father, we mean the source of all existence. When you say parents is the source of the children, we are the children. So in that sense, God is seen as the father because of being the source, the emanation. But in our loving relationship, the devotees find great happiness in giving to Krishna, not asking for Krishna. Prabhupada said, why ask for God, anything from God, when he's already giving it? All you have to do is take it. Whatever you need is there, right? The air is there, food is there, water is there, sunshine is there. The facilities you need to live happily are there. If you worship the Lord. Of course, those who don't worship the Lord, they even struggle to get the basic needs in life because they don't see the connection between the needs and the source of the needs, and therefore they just struggle to acquire the needs. Therefore, for a devotee, there's no work. Prabhupada was talking about, there's no work for a devotee. It's just chanting, dancing, and feasting, that's all. And then once Prabhupada, the senior devotee, he said, but Prabhupada, we got so much work to do. We have to do this, we have to do that, we have to do that. Prabhupada said, there's no work, it's all chanting, dancing, and feasting. But the devotee was persistent. No, Prabhupada, it's not easy. We have to do this. Prabhupada said, it's all chanting, dancing, and feasting. That's all. If you see it that way, if you have that consciousness that whatever we're doing is actually a joyful opportunity, it's an opportunity to express our devotion to Krishna. So therefore, it can be done in a joyful way. It can be done in a way that is pleasing. Not that it's a chore. Oh, God, why is Krishna asking me to do this? Why is the temple authority, who is a representative of Krishna, asking me to do this? Why am I being put into this? It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. Service is great, is the opportunity to express our love. Without service, there's no question of anything. So when the Lord gives us some, even if it's difficult, Prabhupada said, I never considered whatever I had to do in spreading Krishna consciousness as difficulty. He said, because it was the instructions of my spiritual master, I never considered easy or difficult. I was fixed on the instruction, therefore I was successful. If you consider something difficult, it may seem difficult, so therefore when it seems difficult, what do? We pray more. We pray harder. We beg for the mercy. We realize how dependent we are. But sometimes you get a service and you do it for a while and it just becomes routine. And it becomes easy. You start to learn all the techniques. And then actually you start doing the service and you start forgetting about why the service is being done and who it's for. And then what Krishna does? He makes the service difficult. And in extreme cases, he changes your service. Just so you don't get so too attached to the idea that you're doing the service. It's like that sometimes. So our Krishna consciousness, a devotee is always not seeing difficulty. He sees it as an opportunity. There are difficulties. Sometimes it becomes so difficult, especially when you have to deal with the outside world. It can be very, how we say, mortifying or frustrating. And sometimes you have to deal, just like devotees had to deal in the early days with politicians. Sometimes they had arranged meetings with Prabhupada, with important people. Very difficult. It wasn't easy. Actually, Prabhupada wanted to meet the President of the United States at the time. He actually wrote a letter to the President of the United States explaining who he was and what he had to offer and that he would like to meet the President of the United States. Mm-hmm. He asked the devotees to arrange for it, but it was too difficult. They couldn't, it never happened. Prabhupada didn't arrange for a meeting with Indira Gandhi. I think he met with Indira Gandhi. One time he also, before that, Prabhupada's devotees were supposed to meet with Indira Gandhi also. And what happened is they showed up late. And because they were late, they missed the meeting. Prabhupada was really upset. When you're dealing with important people, you cannot be late. Oh, he was really upset. They had come about a half hour late. Because in India, you know, sometimes people do that. You know, it's called IST, right? Indian stretch time, you know. If you're 2 hours behind the actual time that you're supposed to be there, you're considered on time. Anything after 2 hours is late, right? That's my experience anyway. Of course, in devotional life, it's a problem. You can't be late. You have to be on time. Prabhupada was really very much... He said, if your watch is slow, it's in Maya. He said, a good watch is a fast watch, one that's ahead of the actual time. That way you're never late. So set your watch a little ahead. It's always good like that. So The relationship between the Lord and His devotees in the different rasas are sweet. Dasya, sweet. Sakya, they say there's a little added element of sweetness there. And Vatsalya, also, even sweeter. And Madhurya is the concentration of all the rasas. It's the sweetest of all sweet. Madhurya ras. But those who are in their rasa, they are satisfied. If one is asked to take a different relationship, one will not be inclined to, even though it's maybe, say, higher. Just like when Lord Chaitanya told Murari Gupta, he said, "Murari, you know, you're a devotee of Lord Ram, and Ram's pastimes are very nice, but Krishna's pastimes are much sweeter. So actually, you should worship Krishna." And Murari went home that night, and he was thinking about what the Lord has said, and he was meditating on it. He was actually praying to put his affection, his devotion on Krishna. And he was praying and crying. Actually, his heart was just so full of transcendental anxiety, he couldn't do it. He couldn't give up his relationship with Lord Ramachandra. As much as he was heard that Krishna's pastimes are sweeter, still, he was so fixed in his relationship with the Ramachandra. And the next day, he was in distress. He saw the Lord. He said, "My dear Lord, I can't follow that instruction. I'm sorry. I can't pull my heart away from Raghupati." Lord Chaitanya said, "Of course not. You're a Hanuman. You're a Hanuman." And the Lord was very pleased. He was just testing to show the devotion of Murari. So when one is fixed and is situated in the ras, then that is the perfection of one's relationship with Krishna. So the process is to follow in the footsteps of a great personality, Anuskaran and Anusharan. One should not imitate great souls. One cannot imitate a particular ras and expect to become and be in that ras. And imitation is also, as Prabhupada said, imitation is cheap and it's wrong. Many times it's wrong. It's mostly wrong and it's cheap. And Prabhupada said imitation is dangerous. He said it's also dangerous. Sometimes we like to imitate other devotees. And sometimes we like to imitate the spiritual master. But it's dangerous because imitation is not reality. Imitation is just what it is. It's imitation. One should follow in the footsteps of a great personality, follow the instructions of the spiritual master, and worship a great personality, praying for their mercy. And that way, one can get the mercy of that great personality and be situated in the same ras, or be, when one gets to higher level, then one will automatically be directed towards their eternal ras like that. But one should only worship and not imitate. We saw imitation is cheap. It's called sahajya. A lot of times the devotees in the early days of Krishna consciousness, when sometimes some of these sahajyas would come into the temples, one time in Vrindavan, one sahajya, he came in, one man, and he started rolling on the ground in front of the deity, and he was just exhibiting moods of crying. And they came to Prabhupada and told him. Prabhupada said, "Pick him up and take him outside." So they did. So he picked him up, took him outside. He wiped the dust of Vrindavan off him, and he lit up a bidi cigarette, and he walked away. True story. And sometimes they look like they're crying, but Prabhupada calls them chili babas. And they eat chilies, so if you eat enough chilies, you'll definitely cry. Chili baba. Now you see a lot of that, and it goes on, especially in certain places, like in holy places. But it's all cheap. It's imitation. But Jagannath Mishra, he's so much steeped in his loving relationship with Krishna as his father to the son, that even on the advice of this Brahmana, he had a discussion in the dream. They were discussing the position of his son. He couldn't possibly change. Still he would chastise him. Still he would correct him. Still he would treat him as his own son. And Krishna loves that. Krishna relishes that. So today is Jagannath Mishra festival. And we honor this great soul. He was one of seven sons of Upendra Mishra. As Radhanath Maharaj mentioned yesterday, he was the fifth son. He was a Mahabhagavat. He was a great soul. He came specifically to perform this service in the mood of in Vatsalya Ras. And we honor him in this day as we honor the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, Lord Shiva explains that to honor the Lord is the greatest of all activities, but to honor the things that are in connection with the Lord is even greater than honoring the Lord. Tadiyanam Samarchanam. That when you honor Tulsi, when you honor Srimad Bhagavatam, when you honor the spiritual master, or when you honor the devotees, you're actually giving greater service to the Lord than when you directly honor the Lord or try to honor the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when we worship Him. His beloved devotees, parents, friends, like that. So that is Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people say, well, we don't have to worry about anything in between. We can go directly to the Lord. We have a relationship with the Lord. Many times people say that when we're out preaching. What is this in between? What is this idea of a spiritual teacher? What do we need that something in between for? I am the son of God, I am the daughter of God, and therefore I can just pray to God and He hears my prayers. Maybe. Not necessarily. He may hear them, but He may not really take them seriously. But if you pray and to the spiritual master, and the spiritual master offers your prayers to the Lord, then the Lord listens. Seriously. That's the difference. So when we honor the Lord's pure devotee, or when we honor the Lord's parts and parcels, we actually honor the Lord. Krishna says in the Adi Purana, the first verse in Adi Purana, he says, "He who says is my devotee is not my devotee, but one who is the devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee." So to become a devotee of the Lord means to become the devotee of the Lord's devotee. Of course, we hear that a lot, but we can't hear it enough because it's a matter of practice. It's a matter of practice. The more we serve the Lord and by serving the Lord's devotee, the more the Lord is inclined to give His mercy to us. And serving them means pleasing them also. So today is the appearance of Jagannath Mishra. Okay, I know you've been through many, many hours of Krishna Katha, Gaur Katha yesterday, so I'm not going to keep you here too long. And tonight there's another full program, so I'll stop here. Is there any questions? Yes?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Uh-huh.
You told that neutrality is a rasa which is adopted by those who are in admiration with Lord or impersonalists.
By those who are the impersonalists. They just admire the principle of God. Yeah. It's like there's no service.
So my question is that Shabari, she was a devotee of Lord Ram, and she waited till fag end of her life to serve Lord Ram with the...
But she was doing service.
Yeah, that's what my question is. How to understand this
neutrality
correction?
Is no service. It's just like if you come into the temple and you sit down in front of the deity and you just admire how beautiful the deity is and how nice the deity is, and then you go away. You didn't perform any service. That's neutrality. It's a mood of admiration, that's all. But Sarvati was doing service. She was tasting all these fruits to see if they were nice to be offered to Lord Ram. She was actually actively doing service. So one must do service.
Not in neutral rasa, shant rasa, that was some other rasa.
Shabri?
Yeah.
I don't know, what is her ras? Who knows?
Because as far as I have read or heard, it was shant rasa.
It's shant ras? That's what it says? I don't know. She was tasting the berries, and when the Lord came, she gave it to him. She handed it to him. So if you hand food to the Lord, that means you're feeding the Lord. So who feeds the Lord? Parents, right? Parents could be Vatsalya Ras also. We don't know. I don't know. Unless you could find a scripture where it actually says what is her ras, then we'd have to, inspect from there. But we can't simply judge so much by the external activity. You can to some degree, but not completely in all cases. You know. It's like Kubja. Right? She just admired the beauty of Krishna when she saw him. She was so overwhelmed by his beauty and she offered her services to him as a prostitute. Krishna satisfied her desires, but not in that way. So there's an element of, let me say, neutrality there. But rasas can be mixed also. They can be mixed mellows. When you have pure ras, it's different. When you have, there's also mixed mellows. An activity may be a mixture of different rasas, but the person's actual ras will be fixed in a certain ras. Just like, you know, cowherd boys. You know, some of the cowherd boys also may act as Krishna's parents. Like Balaram, he acts as Krishna's parent and takes care of Krishna. Or, if you read the Nectar of Devotion, you find that in a particular pastime, there are different mellows, different things. There is Vatsalya, there is an element of Vatsalya with some affection in terms of Madhurya. The mellows can be mixed because there's Rasa Basa. Mellows don't mix. You just can't have like Madhurya Ras with, you know, Shanta Ras. It's like certain mellows don't mix. Or Madhurya Ras with parental affection. But certain mellows do mix, and that's all explained. So these things happen in incidents, but a person's actual Ras is fixed. Like that. Any other questions? Yes, Abhay Prabhu. Mm-hmm. Pass the microphone.
Hello, Maharaj. When Nimai lost his temper because his mother wouldn't provide what he needed, what do we learn from that? It seems a very adverse reaction.
What do we learn by seeing Nimai losing his temper? It seems to be, well, we can't imitate that. That's for sure. He's performing his transcendental leelas. To hear about these leelas, we actually find great happiness. That the Lord can do these things and everyone finds great pleasure. But if your own child goes and breaks your house, not too many find pleasure in that. I mean, you know, Krishna, he was passing urine on the floor, steals butter. But if some ordinary child does that, you know, it's chastised. Nobody becomes really happy because of that. But when Krishna does it, it's a great delight. It brings joy to the heart because he's the Supreme Lord. And whatever he does is so wonderful. Even his breaking of things, causing other people's, apparently causing them distress. But actually, there's something else that is happening there. Is that although so many things apparently are not right, the persons that are victimized are feeling great happiness. Just like when the Brahmins, they came to complain about Nimai doing all his mischief, they were saying, well, you know, don't chastise him. We're just coming to complain, but please don't chastise him. You know, there is this inner sweetness that they get from the contact of the Lord, even though the Lord is causing them apparently some external distress. Still that external. It's like when Krishna puts you in a difficult circumstance. Because it's Krishna that's doing it, it's nice. Yes? You don't always think like that, but that's the way it is. When Krishna puts you in a difficult circumstance, you know, it's great. Actually, it's very nice because it's being done by the Lord. So there's great transcendental happiness that the devotees get by hearing these pastimes of the Lord. And it creates, you know, there is one of the rasas, one of the sub-rasas, is humor. Hasyaras. Hasyaras, you know, and there's joking, there's different kinds of mischief that causes great humor. So this is a particular sub-mellow that supports a higher mellow that gives the, adds a certain sweetness. Just like one time one cowherd boy said, Krishna, I have a wonderful sweet for you, and I'm going to give it to you, but please open your mouth and I'll put it in, but close your eyes. So Krishna closed his eyes and opened his mouth, and the boy threw a flower in Krishna's mouth. And then everyone laughed. He played a trick on Krishna. He threw a flower, and Krishna liked it too. So Krishna was the, what we say, the object of laughter in this case. There's actually a painting of that. You see the boy throwing the flower in Krishna, and the other boys are just kind of like, they're like, hi. We're going to trick Krishna now, right? So this humor, you know, it's natural, right? Everyone likes humor. Everyone likes joking like that. But in the material world, it's done at someone's expense. Usually someone loses out. In the transcendental realm, everyone finds great happiness. So we enjoy these pastimes like that. Hearing of Krishna's leelas. Okay. So, get back to normal today, right? Or get back to abnormal. Yes? Another question?
Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Maharaj, you said that one should not imitate the activities of a great devotee, but before I heard that, one should understand the mood of spiritual master and act accordingly. Can you just elaborate the?
Yeah, understanding the mood of the spiritual master means to understand how to serve him. If you understand his mood, then you can understand how best to serve. He's giving instructions, but also, it's not that you have to be instructed on everything. If you understand his mood, just like Prabhupada's mood was preaching. So you want to serve Prabhupada, preach. But become qualified to preach first. And then preach. Aspire to become qualified to preach and then preach. Mm-hmm. When you become qualified. So what is the mood? We should try to understand the spiritual master's mood, but you can't imitate the mood, not like I adopt his mood. You know, he's chastising others, so I should do that also. Just like sometimes people do that. You know, in imitating Prabhupada. Fools, rascals, togs, hogs, camels, asses, they all kick on their face with boot, throw pies in their face, you know, like that. And sometimes people like to say the same thing in class, you know. Like, the, but Prabhupada said, I can say that, you cannot. You know, we have the false ego attached to what do we say. Sometimes we get a little, we speak a little strongly, and we should speak strongly, but to imitate Prabhupada's, when we say heaviness and cuttingness, you have to have that purity, or it just comes out as false ego. That's all it does, right? Right? So don't try to imitate the mood, right, like that. Just like sometimes one devotee, he left Krishna consciousness because Prabhupada would sometimes play with this little girl who was the daughter of one of his disciples. And he would play with her. And he would throw a flower at her and she'd throw the flower back at Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would just, like a loving father playing with his child. So this devotee was thinking, this is a guru? This is Prabhupada's a guru and he's playing with children? He actually became somewhat offensive in mentality because of that, and then he left. He was criticizing Prabhupada. Gurus don't do this, you know, gurus don't play with little girls, you know. But Prabhupada was just having a loving relationship with that child as a loving father. But people misunderstood, you know. It's not like Prabhupada needed to do that, but he was just making this child happy. So if you do that, it's something different. You think, well, just like, there's a story, that famous story. One doctor, he was a veterinarian. So one time he was teaching his apprentice, his disciple, how to become a veterinarian. So he was watching him. So one time a horse was brought to the doctor and had a big lump in its throat. So the veterinarian said to his apprentice, give me a rubber hammer. A hammer, like what, rubber, not a regular. And so he did, and he took the hammer and he just hit the horse in the throat. He had a big lump. He just hit the horse in the throat, and then the lump just broke away and it was gone. So later on, that same apprentice became a veterinarian. Someone brought a horse to him, so he started hitting the horse with a hammer. And he killed the horse. And then it was found out by his teacher what happened. He came and he said, what did you do that for? He said, I saw you doing that. He said, you fool, that horse had a watermelon stuck in his throat, and I was just breaking it up so he could swallow it. So imitation. If you imitate without understanding or having the understanding, it's cheap. It's cheap. So understanding the mood means understanding how to serve the mood, not how to adopt the mood. You serve the mood. So. It's like Prabhupada said, bring me a glass, if I say to you, bring me a glass of water, and you say, milk is better than water, so I'll bring some milk. And then Prabhupada said, no, I asked for water. So he wants water. So you're thinking, I know his mood. He really would like milk better than water. So there's an example. Try to understand when the spiritual master gives the instruction, you follow it. And how best to follow? You use your intelligence. It's not like the spiritual master has to tell you everything. He has to give you a general understanding, and you have to use your intelligence to carry it out. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati tells the story of the foolish disciple. You heard that story? The foolish disciple? The one that don't, you can, you just, I'll tell the story. It's a short story. A guru was traveling in the woods, riding on a horse with his disciple. The disciple was sitting on the back of behind the spiritual master. They were riding the horse. And so the guru turns to his disciple and says, "Give me my Bhagavad Gita." And the disciple says, "Guru Maharaj, the Bhagavad Gita fell down back there." He said, Why didn't you stop and pick it up?" He said, "Well, you didn't tell me." Oh my God, what a foolish devotee. He said, "Anything that falls off this horse, you pick up." So they were traveling, and then the horse stopped to respond to nature. So the disciple got down, and he had his cloth holding out like that. And the guru said, "What are you doing, you fool? Get up here. Well, you said anything that falls off the horse." "Oh, here, give me my pencil and paper. So I'm going to write down a list. Anything falls off. So Bhagavad Gita, bead bag, charter, you know, so many things he writes down, you know. Bhagavad Gita, you know, it's a whole list. He said, "Here, this is the list. Read the list, anything that falls off, you can pick it up." So they're riding. And the horse is going faster and faster and faster. Soon the horse goes real fast and it jumps. And the guru falls off the horse. So the disciple's looking at the list. There's no guru on the list. To become Krishna conscious, it takes a little intelligence. And Prabhupada used to say, when devotees would ask, "I don't have any intelligence, Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, "Then go find someone who has and take that intelligence." Or take the intelligence of Krishna and the spiritual master. Anyway, it requires a little common sense in how to do things. And so it's not like the spiritual master has to tell you everything. So that means understanding the mood. The mood helps you understand how best to serve the instructions like that. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Jagannath Mr. Mahamahotsava ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna. Thank you.